Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Can we not have the alerts very loud on your...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
Settings.
Here we go.
I'll go to settings.
Well, that's the podcast
done. Are you suggesting I don't know how to control this...
Yeah, because we're doing a podcast and your iPad's just made incredibly
Listen.
Loud noise.
It's Apple, isn't it?
What about your phone? Have you turned your phone off, dear?
Yeah. What do I do now?
right.
There's the settings...
You just turn the sound down on the clicker.
I have turned the sound down.
Yeah, just turn the ringer down to nothing.
Oh, it's just come up again, though.
That's because I've just turned it down. It's because I pressed the button.
Can you put it on airplane mode? That might be
better. Yeah, that might be better.
Airplane mode. Yeah, but then I'll forget to put it back again.
Well, you won't forever, will you? It's not going to be like in 3 weeks' time you're going, oh, I don't know what's wrong with this iPad. Like, you'll remember or we'll remind you.
Also, there's the little airplane that's in the top.
Yeah, there's an actual airplane symbol.
Can you see it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, unbelievably, that's the sign for
that
airplane
That tells you it's
mode.
In airplane mode.
Yeah.
Well, I never knew that.
What does Steve Hill say, Ellie? Every day's a learning day.
Every day's a learning day, that's
Every
right.
Every day's a school
oh,
day.
Oh, look, that Apple of Art told me about my trip round the sculpture park in...
What noise is that making now?
Well, because it shows you...
We're doing a podcast. I don't want to look at a collage of your holiday in San Gimignano in 2018.
Oh, stop now.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe let's put the iPad upstairs.
Or in the bin with you.
Right, I want to turn it off.
Please do.
Oh, I can't, I've got the finger
power. I've put it on airplane mode, you don't
oh, look,
need to.
Slides to power off, all right?
Fine.
So you can mate. Shut up.
Right. I tell you what, it was a long 2 weeks, mate.
Hello, scumbags. This is the Scummy Mummies podcast. With your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
I am delighted, Ellie, because we have a very special guest today.
Oh, yes.
Have a returning guest. It is, of course, your father, Jim.
Hello, readers.
Hooray.
Hello, readers.
This is wonderful that you're back again. We're going to have a very special podcast. Ellie and Jim go to Antarctica.
Yeah. Readers, did you know when I was there... I saw a Weddell seal
oh,
on one iceberg.
Already done this joke on Instagram as well, but okay, go on. No, for anyone who's
this is the podcast.
It.
Not everybody watches.
Some people consume multiple formats of media.
Can I just tell the joke?
All right, let's start with a dad's joke.
Yeah,
Jim.
Now I saw a Weddell seal. Actually, this is a visual joke, but it'll work. I saw a Weddell seal on one iceberg. Then I went past. I saw. A leopard seal on another iceberg,
mm-hmm.
and then we went past another iceberg which had four seals on it.
Yeah,
and all these seals were nodding their heads like that.
Yeah,
and those were the seals of approval. Hey, readers, I still got it, and I.
As I say, it was a long 2 weeks in Antarctica. You can understand how people go mad and stab each other over like a chess game in Antarctica because, you know, I think those people should be let off. I do not think they should go to prison.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a jolly start to the podcast.
Wonderful.
But yes, we've been to Antarctica and we survived. We're back.
Absolutely excellent. It was a joy to watch. I don't know if anyone else was as captivated. I mean, I was obviously captivated by every story. But you had an incredible adventure together as daughter and father.
Mm.
Who knew? And you're still talking now. You're in each other's company.
Yeah.
Yes, and we have been allowed to leave Argentina, Helen, which at one point looked iffy. Let's just say that because Dad nearly got me arrested at Buenos Aires Airport.
You didn't get arrested.
So let me set the scene for you, Helen. Let me set the scene. I've been on a boat in Antarctica.
Yeah.
I've just spent 2 days crossing the Drake Passage, which is a very, very choppy bit of sea, very dangerous. That takes you back to Ushuaia, right in the south of Argentina, right at the tip. And then you have to fly to Buenos Aires. And then we had to wait around all day, which was actually fine because we just ate steak and drank Malbec. So it was fine. And then we're having a beer at the bar, waiting for the plane. And in London, cut to London, Pete, my husband, gets a phone call from airport security in Buenos Aires, because he's listed as my emergency contact, saying, yeah, we need your wife to come to airport security immediately. So, yeah, I go and see the man. And here's what happened. When we went to check in, the man said to us, have you got any battery packs, any lithium packs in your bag? And what did you say?
No, but he didn't specifically say lithium packs, otherwise I would have remembered.
But what do you think other battery packs are made of?
No, well, I
get ketchup?
I don't know, but if he'd have said lithium, I would have remembered I had a lithium pack.
So technically you were lying.
Yeah. So now not only has he got a battery pack in his hold luggage that they found, because they've x-rayed it, but they've also accusing us of lying to them, which is not an unreasonable accusation, because what Dad did was lie to them. So that's fair. So, but then they go like, right, well, Ms. Gibson, we're going to need you to come with us, which is just words you really want to hear in an airport, especially if it's in a country where you don't speak the language. And I was like, well, it's actually his bag, isn't it? And they're like, yeah, but it's in your name. You check the bags in, so you've got to come with us. Bring your passport, bring your boarding pass. And there was a... obviously, I didn't think, you know, I was going to really go to the chair. Yeah. But there was a point at which I thought, this might really fuck me. This might be a bad scene, man.
No, that wouldn't happen. The whole point was, I actually, readers, this is... I thought, we need some copy for the podcast, some interesting stories. Some interesting stories to tell. So, it was if it's a very small... lithium, what do you call
it? It's not at all.
A lithium battery pack.
It's a normal sized battery pack.
Well.
And I was like, so the man's like, yes, you've got to come with me. And I was like, well, do you not want my dad at least to come with us? And he's like, no. And I was like, right, so I'm going to go on my own now. So waiting for you to go, no, please, don't take my only daughter out of my sight. I must stand by her side at all times. This all is right, my then. Fault, officer. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what you said. How did you guess, Helen? Righto.
She'll be right.
I just ordered
a
beer.
Cookie. You had just ordered a beer, yes.
Fair enough. So, fair enough. In your defence.
So he went back to the bar. I went into the bowels of the airport. It was quite exciting, actually. I've never been like to that bit of a...
Yeah.
It is a bit like a prison. Everything's grey and scary and there are lots of men in uniform.
Very welcoming.
It's quite unpleasant. And I got to see the big conveyor belt where they get all the suitcases off. Mm. And then they were like, OK, we've got to take the battery thing out. And we opened your suitcase and you had packed like a 3-year-old throwing Lego into a bin. Like it was just like there's a pair of pants here. There's just like 3 Strepsils rolling around. Just a tube of antiseptic cream. Just like we couldn't find the battery pack and the men had to x-ray the suitcase again because it was either that or take literally everything out of the suitcase because it was so badly packed. So they had to x-ray the suitcase again.
Oh, and everyone's having a wonderful time.
We found your thing. Also, speaking of pants, how many pairs of pants did you bring for our 2-week trip?
Ah, I'd like to tell the readers about this.
I always do however many days they are plus 2.
Exactly. Minimum, yeah. I would say.
But they're tiny and they weigh nothing.
I'm perfectly capable of washing them and hanging them in the
it's
little
basket. It's a pain in the ass. So it sounds like a really jolly time, lads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking for 10 minutes. We haven't actually talked about anything about actual Antarctica. Do you know anything about it? Or
what we've talked about is how much luggage Ellie had to take.
I did have a lot of luggage.
I very much enjoyed seeing the preparations for Antarctica online. There was a lot of... Because you weren't just thinking about, you know, what you're wearing. You were thinking about entertainment. You took backgammon.
But we played a lot of backgammon, actually.
See, that's a lovely thing.
Yes. Yeah. So I won... Was it £1? No, I've got it written down on my WhatsApp. I think you owe me £1.15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys, now you're seasoned travellers together. You've had many, many trips.
Well, many with you.
Yes, yeah. Exactly right. So you've done like coast to coast walks. Obviously, we've mentioned on the podcast before, your childhood, Ellie, was filled with many walks and many adventures together.
Yeah.
I was actually going to go back, Jim, and ask you, where did your love for adventure come from? Why do you like doing this shit?
Oh, because I'm a jolly rambler. I've always been a jolly rambler.
Have
my mum and dad used to take me on jolly rambles.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad used to get very annoyed because he bought the Evening News on a Thursday. He hated the Evening News because he was a communist, but he bought it on a Thursday.
Okay.
And because
80% communist.
Yes. Yeah. Because it was in the Evening News was a column by a man called Field Fair.
Yes.
And it was always a little circular walk.
Mm-hmm.
And he would spend, because I'm a fourpence, the Evening News was fourpence then.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot of money.
Mm.
And the Field Fair column would usually be, would either be Surrey, which he could go to because the Southern Region train, or it could be Buckinghamshire or Berkshire or the Chilterns.
Yeah.
And he used to come home and say, oh, I've bought the Field Fair, I've bought the Evening Standard, and it's in bloody Buckinghamshire again. The key thing is to find a pub halfway round.
This is what I was going to ask, because I want to find the essence of why you and Ellie travel so well together. Why are
one
you...
man's ramble is another man's pub crawl. That's
yes!
what we're saying.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
No, only one pub. You don't need several pubs.
Yeah, but you have several pints in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when we did the coast to coast, we walked 192 miles across Britain, and that was a pub crawl. That was basically from cream tea to pie to pint to tea to pie to
you
pie.
You walked it off, didn't you? It was 192 miles. But there's a terrible experience I had last year on a very, very hot day.
Yeah.
I identified the pub halfway round on the Ordnance Survey map and thought, right, that is the pub where I'm going to have my pint halfway round. It was very, very hot. I won't carry water because I'm going to have a pint halfway
round. Amazing!
So sensible.
Amazing!
Stay tuned for the top tips.
I won't carry water on this exercise, on this walk, because I'm going to drink alcohol. So I don't need any water to hydrate myself, because I'm going to dehydrate myself with alcohol.
No, if it's very hot.
What? And on a very hot day.
No,
they
cider.
Don't need to carry water on the tube.
Cider cuts through your thirst.
Well, it's got alcohol in it. Alcohol dehydrate. Do you not know this? You're 76.
It's like
alcohol.
A sponge.
Have you you never woken up after a night of drinking a little bit thirsty?
No.
It dehydrates you.
Well, the point
cider is not... It's not
a liquid, Ellie. Shut up.
When I got... The point is,
Lucas,
I was very thirsty.
I bet you were.
Oh. You don't want to... I mean, I just...
So I had some Magnus Sport.
So I just licked some sand.
Yes.
No, I happen to know that this pub sold a very good drop of clergyman's testicle.
Electrolyzed Strongbow.
It was.
Anyway, cut to the chase.
Yeah, so when I got to the pub, the sign was still up, but it looked a bit dilapidated.
Oh, no.
And a bit closed. A bit sort of needed a bit of paint. And then a bloody pigeon flew out of the window of the door that I was just about to go in.
Right. So that pub
was a deconsecrated pub.
Deconsecrated?
Yeah, but there is a thing called the internet, right? So you went by the Ordnance Survey rather than go, I know, it'll take me 25 seconds to just double check if the pub is open.
Look,
I'll base my whole health and hydration based on a map.
The Ordnance Survey map I have downloaded. It's the up-to-date Ordnance Survey.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the pub opening times on it. It's a map.
It had the letters PH. Do you know what the letters PH?
Yes, public house. But I would check if it was open. I would.
He knows that now. How did you survive, Jim?
How did you sadly survive?
Well, I went and asked a woman for a drink.
What?
Where?
Huh? What?
In the house next door. I said, look, I'm terribly sorry. I'm very thirsty.
I'd have thought you were a murderer 100%. I would have slammed the door in your face.
No, I'll tell you something
else.
I'll
be like,
else.
Who goes on a walk without a drink, you idiot?
I'll tell you something else.
You're a liar,
else.
You're a murderer.
She went and brought me a proper plastic, you know, the plastic bottle with a special thing that lifts up so you can drink.
A water bottle. Yes,
yeah.
Dad, we're familiar with that. That's what normal people who drink water,
yeah,
that's what they call them. They call them water bottles.
She gave it to me.
Drink bottle, if
you prefer. Yeah, full of water. With some ice in it.
And it was the first time you'd ever tasted it.
No.
So pure, so clean.
So quenching.
She said, She said, I said, oh, thank you very much. Because I'm an old, thank you very much. I'm an old man. I'm 78 years old.
Oh, good of you to say that. Because she was going, goodness me, I thought you were doing your Duke of Edinburgh.
Anyway, and I said, and what I will do is when I complete the walk, I'll make sure you get this bottle.
Yes, nice. Other people's spit.
And she said, no, that's okay. You can keep the bottle. Because she'd got it from Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
Had Mercedes-Benz hands. You can keep...
Oh, she had a bob or two then. Now, if she's getting free water bottles from Mercedes-Benz, she can spare it.
They always got a bit more money in the Chilterns. I did actually get the train across, you see. I did, because I got my freedom pass. So that
nice bit of detail there. thanks for that. So you kept the Mercedes-Benz water bottle. And have you used it since on your walks?
Only on very hot days, because you've got to carry the damn thing. That's
how water works. Yeah. Well, I'd like to say, if she is listening to that lady, thank you so much for taking pity on a poor old alcoholic stumbling through the Chilterns.
Beer!
With no...
Beer!
Yes, not so much as half a bottle of Jameson's to hydrate himself with. Thank you so much,
Broken
dear lady.
Britain! Yeah.
Exactly.
The Ordnance Survey says...
Yeah, it did. It even had, besides the letter PH, it had a little blue tankard. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
Tankard.
Tankard.
Tankard. Tankard. Must be my tankard.
So it must have been very recently
deconsecrated. I'm so thirsty. Give me some mead in my tankard.
Well, look, you've painted yourself
into a corner.
Well. You painted a lovely picture of your words with what a responsible, well, you know, researched, experienced adventurer you were. Fast forward a year, you get a phone call from your daughter saying, I've got this idea, Dad. What happened? How did you two end up in Antarctica?
You were going to come at one point.
I was. Readers, I was going to go in the beginning, but I had a bit of a wobble because I've got this thing. I've got to write a book, and I just thought, actually, I don't know if I can have another. As a single parent, I was having a lot of time away from the children, so I had a bit of mum guilt as well. And so I will stay at home. And then Ellie had the very clever idea to replace me with you.
Mm. Well, I think that is an excellent idea.
Yeah. It's worked out rather well. When I heard that you were going to go, I just thought, what a bloody awesome thing to do. But you were good.
Yes, you didn't want to go at first because you thought you'd be like hacking across crevasses on metal ladders and like eating huskies and pemmican and shit.
I mean, I thought it was all about going outside the tent and being gone for some time and coming back again.
Would that it were, I thought to myself many a time. Would that it was
come
still
on,
that
Dad,
way.
I'll take you on a little trip. Yeah. No, pack light.
Yeah. Yes. I've got my whole life ahead of you.
I only need four pants.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have been all right on that, though. I'm used to that sort of thing. Yeah,
I'd have been all right on that. They weren't all right on that. They all died. Captain Scott died. What makes you think you would have survived where Captain Scott didn't survive?
He didn't have a special polar overcoat, a rough balance overcoat.
I had to make you buy a special coat for Antarctica because you went and bought one for like $29.99 from Mountain Warehouse. It was basically made out of paper.
No, that wasn't made out of paper, but it wasn't goose
warm.
Down.
No, it wasn't good. It wasn't any good.
It wasn't fit for purpose,
no.
Jimbo.
No.
You flew into Buenos Aires and then to that lovely place called
Ushuaia.
And you met a postman.
Met a lovely postman. So the southernmost tip of the Americas is the southernmost post office. And it's like something, I'm a Wes Anderson film, it's just a little shed. And there's this man in it with enormous whiskers. Carlos, I think it is, lives on an island called Redonda down there, which is 500 square metres in size or something. And he's declared it an anarchist republic and himself the Prime Minister. And he just
isolation
in his
does
post
things
office.
For you.
Yeah. He just sits in this post office all day stamping
the president's
postcards. Yeah, fucking brilliant.
Unbelievably good.
He's got no mandate from the electorate, has he, really?
Yes, there isn't an electorate, I don't think.
No,
I think
just
it's just him.
Himself.
It's just him and the penguins. Mm. So
fantastic.
So he was brilliant. I had a little chat with him. He was lovely. And then, we got on the boat, the big boat, and went off and, 2 days in the Drake Passage feeling a bit sick.
So that's like the choppy seas that gets you to Antarctica.
Yeah. And that's the first time because the boat sort of leaves in the evening, right? And it's all very calm and it's all lovely. And then you wake up the next day and you're like in the middle of the sea, which I know again sounds obvious, but there's something else. And then there's looking out the window and seeing literally nothing in any direction, like not even icebergs, let alone animals or birds or land, or like just and it's really choppy and you do sort of go,
if this was a radio program, we would say we were right up Drake's Passage at this point if we wanted to. Anyway, the point is, readers, that when we when you get into Drake's Passage, it goes on and on and on. The ship goes from side to side like a Tommy Cooper sketch, you know. And you're
because you contemporary reference for the kids there.
Right. So you, because I was surprised you went on back on a boat, because didn't Ellie send you on a boat to the Northern Lights, and you were like, not my vibe.
Oh no, that was when I sent him on a nice trip with Mum to see the Northern Lights, but they didn't see them. But him and Mum booked themselves on a cruise up Norway, and they booked the cheapest cabin on the boat.
Top deck, yeah.
Bottom.
Bottom deck.
So you've got no windows.
No windows.
Fucking. And so you're in a rocking coffin, basically.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Did you know, Helen? You probably did, because we've had a lot of conversations in the last 10 years. Did you know that our family has a seafaring history?
No, tell me more.
Mm. So your granddad, my great granddad James, your namesake, he was a sailor, wasn't he, Dad?
He was. He told me that he'd visited every country in the world.
And how unlike a Gibson?
Yeah.
In the world.
Well, he probably didn't.
Montenegro.
No, he probably didn't go to Uganda because that's landlocked.
Yeah.
But good. Because he was a ship's carpenter. If you're a ship's carpenter, you can't leave a port without having a ship's carpenter.
No, right? Essential.
Yeah. And so you could always find a job, even in the sort of 20s and 30s. He was,
Everyone needs shelves, even pirates. Everyone needs a shelf putting up now and again.
Wow.
So he went to where did he actually go that we know that he actually did go? I think he just went to China and back, didn't he?
No, he went to places that were
Isle of Wight.
Listen, when you were 9 years old, and he told me these places, they were all pretty exotic as far as I was concerned.
Well, like what?
Oh, you know, Port Said.
Oh, I don't know where that is. That's the side of the boat.
Well,
like starboard.
No, it's at the top of the Suez Canal. He went there.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Went to America.
America,
that's what he said. Right across to America. He went all over the world. I don't think he had any reason to tell me any old bullshit. I mean,
he told you that he'd visited every country in the world. That is bullshit.
He might have done.
My God. This is hilarious.
You're a ship's carpenter.
Do you know how many countries there are in the world?
I think it's 167 or something.
If you're a ship's carpenter, you are indispensable to the whole...
Austria.
That's landlocked.
Yeah, so if you're not counting landlocked countries,
Australia?
That's not every country in the world.
Every country with a coastline, he probably went.
That's a different sentence. That's a completely different claim. There's 195 countries in the world.
Amazing.
And there's 44 of them are landlocked. So you're still claiming that he went to 150...
Right. All right, you can leave out Uganda and Austria then.
Everything else is covered.
Christ.
Great.
But yes, and he bought, and the story goes that he bought a China tea set for his sweetheart back in South Shields. And then when he got home, Helen, she'd gone off with someone else. And he threw the China tea set in the sea.
Because in those days, they didn't know about turtles choking on China tea set.
Also, there weren't a lot of turtles in South Shields even then, Dad.
But we threw it overboard in the South China Sea.
Oh, what, did he get a letter or something saying that
she got a letter saying and he bought this because he was coming back from China, which is where he bought the China tea set.
Yeah. Mm. I've got that plot point, thank you.
Yeah, he threw it into the South China Sea.
But that was the same granddad who we've talked about on a previous podcast, had a dog called Chippy, who he claimed could put himself on the bus and take himself to the sea.
And the one who made his shoplift in the giant...
He was nifty, wasn't he? From the shipyard.
Yeah. Oh, he's good old James.
I know, he had no bum. It just went straight down.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anybody quite like that. Had no bum.
What an amazing story from history. What a wonderful way for it. I'm sure that's how I'd like to be remembered.
What?
For the shape of
you have got a bum.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ellie's got a great bum. Didn't get that
from
James.
Didn't get it from him.
Somewhere else.
God. So anyway, back to Antarctica.
So yeah, so you arrived. You
wish I was.
quality time with Carlos. And then off you went through the passage. And then what was it like when you hit Antarctica proper?
Well, then there was this magic moment where then we woke up again, because you travel at night, woke up and the boat was just still and it just wasn't rocking. And it was feeling of like Christmas morning, like it was just very quiet and sort of, and I couldn't wait to sort of open my curtains. And it was like, and then, yeah, there was just this huge sort of ice shelf. It was just one of the best things I've ever seen by about a million
incredible
miles. And I have seen the Catford Cat, Helen, the big fiberglass cat,
you have.
So many times.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've seen all the things. But so what was it like actually on the boat? Because it was you and then the other travellers. But who else was it? Were there like scientists and...
There's a load of scientists and expedition leaders and PhD students.
Well, I went out on the actual science boat.
Shut up.
It was a science boat. And what was amazing was they put in a thing which enabled you to take a sample of water from various depths.
Otherwise known as a bucket in a technical
term. No, it was not a bucket. It was a special thing because they have to take from different depths. And then they said, now we're going to go back. We went back on the boat.
Yeah.
And you can look in the microscope.
Yeah, water's still cold. Well done, Jeff. Write that down.
Very wet.
What they showed on the microscopic slides was phytoplankton.
Phytoplankton. Who would have thought it? Unbelievable.
And krill.
Krill!
And krill. Yeah.
What a krill!
That's what whales eat.
Yeah.
Whales eat krill.
Yes.
We know.
Yeah.
And we've watched Finding Nemo.
I just thought to myself, what would be the statistical chance of this particular phytoplankton that we're looking at on this microscope finding itself on this slide?
Yes.
I mean, what would be statistically, that's how he's ending his day on that particular day.
Science.
As opposed to all the other several million phytoplankton and krill. And he was basically on the telly, the equivalent of getting a telly part, really, you know, isn't
amazing.
It?
Amazing. He was a star.
Because obviously there's issues, isn't there, with Antarctica, you know, being an environment that we need to protect.
Yeah.
And there's lots of evidence to show that people going to Antarctica makes you want to protect it more, and the more people sort of hear about it and see it, blah blah blah. So there's good reasons to go, and we went with a company called HX, and they're really focused on making sure that they minimise any sort of impact on the environment, and they're really strict, and there's loads of really important rules that everybody, like, I didn't see anyone messing about and breaking any of the rules.
Yeah.
Things like you have to wear special boots that they give you so you don't get any rubbish on the ice, and you can't take anything with you on the trips out, so not even like a coffee cup or a tissue.
Snickers?
Or no snacks. Fuck. No food at all.
Oh no.
You have to hoover all your clothes before you go, so you don't even, like, dust doesn't pull out your pockets.
Wow.
And you
scrub
have to
boots.
You can't like put your bag on the ground, you can't sit down, you can't, you know, do bloody snow angels,
like,
whatever.
We were never here.
Yeah.
No.
If you do the overnight camping trip, which I didn't do because you and I have spent a night at -25.
Don't
need to do it again.
No.
You can't eat or do a poo while you're on the ice.
What if you need to go?
No.
That's it, mate.
Is it block bag?
Do it in your jumpsuit.
Squeeze your cheeks.
Stuffed. I mean, I was just like, I missed you a lot, but I was like, she wouldn't have liked that
either. No. When I've got to go, I've got to go.
Yeah. When you've got to eat, you've got to eat. I would not have wanted to be in a tent with you in Antarctica when you've not eaten for 10 hours.
No, I'm not good for that.
No.
Most blokes pee standing up. This is a fact, I'm sure you know. But when you go...
That's a big generalisation, but okay.
Well, yeah. When you go...
How do you know that?
Camping, overnight camping.
Yes.
You have to use the same... There's only one facility. And you have to sit down in full view of the rest of the party.
There is a little porta potty, that they take for wee's.
Little porta potty, so you can go. But everybody sees you doing it.
Again, you would not have enjoyed that, mate.
No, I'm a private peer.
Yeah.
I'm a private person. I mean, I'm not that private, but that part of me I like to keep quite
even separate. The penguins see you as well. That's
Can we talk about you going in the sea, Ellie?
Oh, yes.
Can we talk about this? You went in the... Why?
Well, I don't know. I'm a middle-aged woman. You've got to do cold water swimming at some point,
apparently,
haven't
you?
Yeah.
So you're in Antarctica, you take your cosy.
Yeah, so you just strip down to like your swimming costume.
So how cold was the water, technically?
At 0.3 degrees centigrade.
Flipping flips!
Very, very cold. And I knew that mentally, like there's a video on Instagram you can see, but you can see me just go, I'm just going to walk in.
You really
I knew that if I pissed about, I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I stomped in and that was shocking. And then I swam about and I was like, just as I was starting to think, this is okay, I'm okay, this is fine. Like something in my head went, get out.
Oh,
like it was like a real primal survival impulse. Just like, get out, get out, get out. And I looked at the shore and suddenly it seemed really far away.
Oh, that's a bit panicky.
And then my brain, again, like something kicked in and went, no, just move, don't stop moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, swim, it'll be quicker, it'll be quicker. And it felt like that bit felt like, it was weird, it felt quite a long time.
Yeah, but then
it wasn't, then I was out and then it was fine.
Amazing.
So it's magic. Yeah.
And will you be doing that?
No.
No, okay.
Why?
Oh, right.
I mean.
People are telling me now just have like a minute of cold shower at the end of your shower and then that you'll just be calm. I don't want...
Or just enjoy your life.
I would have rescued you had you actually panicked.
You couldn't have rescued a
then
krill.
Then you would have lost two of you. Yeah. It's worth it.
I've got great powers of survival.
So what will...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What were the highlights? Because you were having fun on your little expeditions with amazing scientists. But then you had like father-daughter time where you were like...
Playing backgammon,
hanging out. What was his name? Jean-Christophe.
Jean-Claude. Lovely people. We had some lovely people in our group. We travel journalists called Jean-Claude and lovely Penny. So Penny's a lovely Australian woman, Helen.
Who knew?
So when I missed you... I'd just go and talk to Penny just to hear the accent. Obviously, I'm not saying all Australians are the same.
They're very similar. Just say yogurt, Penny. Come on, I'm back there.
And there was a nice day. On the last day, she and I went kayaking, which was really great. Saw lots of seals. And because I couldn't see her, I was in the front of the boat. So I just hear her voice every now and again. And it was like you were there with me.
Jolly Australian. Everyone needs one of those hanging around.
Yeah. And then there was lovely Michael. And he was a good laugh. And obviously Catherine, who we went to Everest with, and her lovely husband Martin. So we had a nice little gang, a little international gang. Yeah, what was your highlight of the trip, Dad?
I did win one game of backgammon, didn't I?
Right, wonderful. Okay, so I took you to the other side of the world. Yeah. Trip of a lifetime. and that's your best thing.
No, that's not true. No, it was very... it was meeting a man called Christian, who was one of the scientists, who gave an illuminating lecture about climate change and about how countries are dragging their feet so much and it is appalling what's going on. Mm. A point about the boat is very forward-thinking. The next boat they build is going to be solar-powered, non-polluting, whatever. They're actually got designed for this as well, you know. So solar panels on the roof.
The boat we were in is already like a step forward because HX was one of the first boat companies to get rid of, stop using diesel and heavy fuel. So they don't do that. The ship we were on is a hybrid ship, so it uses a lot of electric power. And they showed us the batteries and the engine.
I loved it, yeah.
These batteries, and then they get to port and they basically just plug into the charger, charge the boat, and then they go off and then they use like biofuel as well. So it's a hybrid thing. So, it was amazing to learn about all that. Can I just say, so again, so I took you to the other side of the world on a trip of a lifetime. And the highlight for you is watching a lecture you probably could have seen on YouTube.
No. It was seeing the wildlife and seeing the different penguins and smelling the different penguins.
Oh yeah, what was the smell? Describe the smell.
Well, it's very sad because they decide on an area where they're going to live, and it's just
it just becomes their toilet.
Yeah.
Dad
was so upset about the penguin's toilet.
Well, they just walk around in it all the
time. They don't have shit. I mean, they do. Fucking penguins. Yeah. What are you bothered about?
They have to go in a freezing. They get the front of the, you know, those lovely white things we associate with penguins.
Yes.
When you see them, they're not. They're covered in you know what. And they have to go in the water all the time to wash it off, you know? It's so sad.
All right, David Attenborough.
That's the real environmental tragedy. That's the real takeaway.
Shitty penguins.
Yeah, so I'll be honest, by about day three, I was over the fucking penguins. They stink. There's loads of them.
I've done penguins.
They're the pigeons of Antarctica. That's all they are.
The point with the poor old penguin is, you shouldn't malign them like that. I mean, they're very successful publishers, and they actually need they're built to live in cold climes, and they do very well at doing that and adapt to. I mean, 6 months a year, the place is pitch black, and they don't go, they don't move away. They live there for those 6 months.
Amazing. I have seen Happy Feet. I'm pretty down with the down with all.
Yeah.
And then I want to ask Ellie about driving the boat.
Oh, talk with Captain Bent.
Yes, then. So who was the captain?
So lovely Captain Bent, Ivar Gangdal. He's from Norway, and he gave us a little tour of the bridge so we could see. And like all the like journalists were standing around like very seriously, and everyone's like, and I was just like, "Can I sit in your chair?"
Did you get to wear the captain's hat?
Didn't have one. I was going.
Oh.
He said, "I said, yeah, you can sit in the chair, and you can drive the boat just for a minute."
But isn't the steering wheel really tiny?
It's like a little joystick.
Yeah, yeah, like the rim of a mug. Like it's tiny. Yeah. Yeah.
So he let me sit in his chair, and then. Like, and the chair is so funny, right? So the chair is like in the bank of computers.
Yeah.
And then like you press a button and it goes
like Patrick Stewart.
And
like,
it moves backwards. Yeah.
Like you're in Star Trek. Amazing.
It moves backwards like 3 meters, so you don't have to walk 3 meters to get in it. Oh. And Captain Bent was like, yeah, this is silly, really. This is not necessary. But then you get in the chair and you sit down. And then, yeah, and I pressed the little stick. So I moved the ship like 10 degrees off course, and you could see the front of the boat just.
And we hit an iceberg.
We did hit an iceberg. And then I moved it back. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, that's literally driving a boat.
Pop that on your CV, Gibbo.
There it is. That's my new calling.
World record holder and Antarctic ship captain.
Yeah. So that was almost the best bit, but seeing the whales was the best bit for me.
Oh, yeah, that looks incredible.
Whales, yeah. But
on a tiny little boat. Yeah.
It was very sad, actually, because we got very close to them, and the scientist who was with us said, well, now they're feeding because they're coralling the krill and the phytoplankton, they're coralling. And she said, and the calf is getting in the way. I thought, what's new? The calf that goes with the mother everywhere.
Mum.
Yeah, it's really messing it up badly, you know.
Oh,
no supper
amazing.
For the whales tonight because of you, sunshine, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah. But that bit of the bay used to be really popular with whalers, sadly, because it was.
Yeah, because didn't you see an old whale station at one
time? We saw a whale station, yeah, that was horrible.
Oh, yeah, it was all broken down and rusty. And it was
looked like, a bit sort of like Mad Max sort of.
Well, it looked to me like a sort of Dulwich Cricket Club's 7-Eleven pavilion, which has now fallen down.
Mm.
It was all very sad, and it was literally just left to collapse. Mm. A bit like the West Pier at Brighton. You know?
Yeah, yes, that's what it was like. That's right. Antarctica, it's just like Brighton.
Yeah, it is. Fewer pebbles.
Yeah, yeah.
No pebbles.
No. Lava soil.
Organic sand.
Yeah.
No, but you painted a nice picture.
Yeah.
I get the desolation.
Brighton has often reminded me of a disused whaling station, to be fair. So that's absolutely fine. Yeah.
It's got that vibe.
Yeah.
Oh, so what's next, lads? Where are you going to go next?
Oh,
did you?
Who knows?
Because I did like that when we were in Everest, Ellie, and we were freezing, we were starting to get blisters on our hands. We were both going, never again will we go on a cold holiday. That's hard work.
Oh, it was great fun. To be honest, it was much less hard work than hiking to Everest because we didn't have to walk for 10 hours a day apart from anything else.
Did the toilet seat have frozen piss on it?
Absolutely not, mate.
No, nothing like that.
I think you made a good choice.
Funny enough, we were talking to Catherine on the WhatsApp last night, weren't we? And she was like, well, you know, Everest Base Camp, Antarctica, where next? And I said, well, I think we should go somewhere a bit warmer and more accessible, like North Korea. So That's next on the list.
But you've got exciting adventures coming up, Thorn. Where are you going next?
This year I was going to call them readers. I've been influenced by you. So I have done 3 of the World Marathon World Majors.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
And this year I'm aiming to do Boston and Chicago. So I will have done 5 out of the 6 World Majors.
And then just Tokyo.
Then Tokyo to go. And then what I get at the end is a medal that is a culmination of the 6 medals together in a giant medal.
That's amazing.
And then I will be a World Major. So, yeah, so that's where I'm going. I'm going to go to Australia soon. And, so that's very exciting. And I have been asked by the London Marathon events people to lead a wave of 2,000 women for their 10K in September.
Wow.
I'm doing some running shit, so that's good. And when you're away, yes, I clean my house, but I also, Ellie and I have known each other for nearly 11 years. She's been asking me to quit smoking, and I've quit smoking for a month. There you go. Look at me fly. Turns
I'm
out,
impressed.
I feel quite good.
That is fantastic news.
I did hypnosis.
Did you?
Yeah.
How was it?
Mm. Oh, really? I did it on Zoom, actually. But I had to lie down on a bed and close my eyes. And then she recorded it. She put me on mute. And then she's given me the recording and I play that at night.
Oh.
And honestly, I know it's probably a bit woo-woo.
No, it's a word.
It's just part of the Alan Clark book, doesn't he say do that?
Alan Carr.
No, that's a totally different thing.
But I've got me patch. Been doing patches and things like that. But I'm good for you. Anyway, so now we're not going to have another drink, actually. I just thought I'd keep going until, I don't know, maybe we're on tour and I'll need a beer after the show.
Yes, I've been doing damp January. I'm trying to keep, I did have a glass of wine the other night when I got back from A&E with Dad.
Because all I've been drinking, readers, is tea pigs.
Oh,
these tea pigs, honey and ginger. So I've been on antibiotics.
Oh. What happened to your face?
Yeah, my face swelled up. I've got an abscess in my gums, readers. So I had to go to an A&E. Only 7 hours, readers. And only rescued by my daughter.
Yeah, it turned out that poor daddy got there at noon, didn't tell us that he was in the hospital, so we didn't know until mum rang at like 7 saying that he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 7 hours.
So that's because the Ordnance Survey was wrong. And the pub had actually closed down.
Oh. But then we saw the doctor, was very nice and said there's nothing to worry about.
He was excellent,
And we went home. And then I had a glass of wine. And I am not sorry.
No!
I just had one.
All I could have was a decaffeinated tea pig. I still can't drink anything except these tea pigs.
So is this the longest you've gone without alcohol?
Yeah, probably.
Look at you, Jim!
Since I was 16 years old,
how many days has it been? 5 days or something?
Yeah.
Do you feel better for it?
No.
Okay. There's a great podcast I know called Sort Your Shit Out.
I was going to say, because it's great, because I'm going to interview Stephanie for my book, because she's such a... because I love the podcast with you guys together. And Sort Your Shit Out, still very much available. Evergreen.
Might put an advert for it in this very podcast.
Why not?
I'm the editor. I can do what I like. I can edit it, advertise my own podcast on your podcast. You can't fucking stop me. No. When you've learned how to edit podcasts, perhaps you can advertise whatever the fuck you want. But no, I'm going to advertise my own podcast right now. Hello, it's Ellie here. Now, if you like the sound of my voice, and I don't know, maybe you do, you listen to this podcast, I'm starting a new podcast, and it's called Sort Your Shit Out, and it's all about finding a bit of balance, starting with alcohol. The first series is all about booze, because basically, I've decided I'm a bit of a pisshead, and I quite like to drink a bit less. So I've got an actual expert to help me out. She's called Stephanie Chivers, and she knows loads about this sort of thing. And also, I'll be talking to loads of other experts and authors and, you know, funny people, and just having loads of chats about, you know, how to drink a bit less, find a bit more balance, and sort your shit out. The clue's in the name, isn't it? Anyway, it's out on the 9th of January 2023. Have a listen if you like. Hope you like it.
Hi, Ellie here. That's brilliant. Oh, and so have you got a Scummy Mummy confession, Ellie, apart from, you know, looking after your father in many ways?
I mean, that whole experience was so traumatic, I probably blocked everything else out, to be honest. Yes, Dad, have you got a Scummy Mummy confession?
Oh, my God, have I? A confession.
Your pants story is pretty scummy.
Well, I did, that some of my pants I wore three times.
Oh God!
We did do that in an antique.
No. There's no we.
I did that.
I packed a pair for each day plus two, as the law dictates. The law of the land.
Every day plus two. That is correct.
Helen, have you got a confession?
Oh, have I got a confession? So I got a skip months and months ago, and I've been chucking things out. One of the grossest scummy things was that the skip was watertight, and there's been a lot of rainfall, right?
Oh, no.
And so yesterday, the skip was being collected, and my neighbour Joy is amazing. She siphoned off the pond water. Whoa. And it smelt like a sewer, and she said, don't worry, I'll put it down the street. And so all of my street smelt like a pond, and she siphoned it off.
How publicly spirited of you.
I know. Yes. Anyway, so the house is great, but my brother, who's been doing my building works, hasn't finished it. He's about 80% done, and the bathroom hasn't been done, and I found mushrooms growing in the downstairs loo where there's gaps in the house. So I grew some sort of horticultural thing. It's gross. Anyway, that's a lot of detail. Yeah. So we're, you know, that's that done. But I'm very much looking forward to 2024. We are going on some really excellent adventures this year. We're going to Scotland. Did you know this, Jim? We're going to Dundee, Glasgow and Aberdeen.
Yeah, that's in October.
Yeah.
Oh, we're trying to sort out a little tour of Ireland as well, but we're still looking at venues and trying to work all that out. But we're trying to go to Ireland and Wales we're going to, aren't we? We're going...
Swansea and Cardiff.
So are you saying I've got to spend 3 days driving to Dundee, Aberdeen with you two?
No, other drivers are available. So, again, not a hostage situation, Dad.
No,
a choice. Paid employment, which you may decline in accordance with the laws of Britain.
No, I need the money, readers. That's the trouble.
For what? More pants.
Yeah.
My Crystal Palace season ticket for next season.
Oh, I see. Fair enough. Yeah. But no, we're really excited, and we're going back to a few favourites like Sutton Coldfield. Coldfield's a highlight, and Stockport.
We're not going to Barking because there's dodgy concrete in the theatre.
Yeah, so not until September.
Really sorry. If you bought a ticket for Barking, we are coming back on the 26th of September, but contact the theatre.
Because the show is so hysterical, you would probably have set off the area at concrete
and crashed down on the audience's heads. It's an environmental disaster. They were like, we can only put Ibsen on. But I think it all kicks off on the 28th of February with Chipping Norton and Tewkesbury.
Oh, I'm really excited. Let's set your phone. Jesus,
he's
had
his phone on the whole time.
Oh, it's the phone. It's not the iPad, because that's on aeroplane mode.
Wonderful. Well, it's been a joy and a delight to have you back on the podcast, Jimbo.
Yeah, I'm sorry about all the interruptions with my various technical devices. But I'm actually I have to stay in touch with my agent.
Oh, I see.
Because the call could come at any... After 76 years, that call from Hollywood, today could be the day.
Yeah.
You are going to be Superman.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get a job in 2023, so I might get one in 2024.
What are you talking about? We paid you handsomely.
You've got a fucking job.
I mean, as an interpretive creative artist. I'm not an equity member for nothing, you know, even
though... No, it's £12 a month. Fucking daylight robbery. Yeah. Anyway... they do a wonderful service. I believe in the unions.
Yep.
Anyway, well, that's it, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, yes. Well, it's been... I'm glad you had a great time, but I'm very glad you're back and safe.
Oh,
well done, team. Thank you. Yes, we are, I had a
great time. Thanks for coming with me, Dad.
Yeah. Oh, well, it was lovely. It was lovely. Great. And you looked after me very well.
And I missed you, Helen. I really missed you.
I miss you too.
We've done so many adventures together. So it was definitely the first few days as well. It was really weird. I kept sort of wanting to tell you things or looking at something funny and then looking. And then you weren't there.
I was like,
I don't like it. It's weird. But then I got over it. It was fine.
I'm glad Penny was a
she was wonderful. So was Catherine, of course. And it was,
and Ursula.
Lovely. Ah,
Ursula was a star.
So Ursula is one of the expedition leaders on the boat, and she's an amazing woman. Mm. She has crossed Greenland on foot twice.
Wow.
So it takes 30 days, and it's full, like, you pull your own sledge, you pull all your shit, you just eat, you know, things out of packets.
She is something else.
You just wear the same pants. She's sort of, I think, for like 30 days.
Yeah, she can't get changed.
And she's so just full of joy and light and fascinating facts and funny stories. And I loved her. She did remind me of you. And I loved her so much. And she's, maybe we'll get her on the podcast.
I would love that.
I could talk to her for days. Ursula Geiger. Shout out to Ursula. She's a magic person.
Right.
Well, thanks for coming around doing the podcast, Dad.
All right. Have you got enough there? You've got enough there, haven't you?
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes, yeah, speak to you soon. Speak to you soon.
Who are you?
My readers.
It's not the end of a phone call. Okay, love you. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Now, don't forget, we've put your iPad off our airplane mode, okay? So you don't need to turn it back on.
Right, yeah. But I'm not going on an airplane now, am I? I'm going on the overground. Is there an overground mode?
Oh, God. Again, long old 2 weeks.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.